For that is the reason we gather like this. He set upon his people watchmen. Abraham Samuel was trying to talk about the ministry of perfection. We are to watch. We are to feed the sheep of God. And that is our duty. As we see things happening everywhere, I spoke last Sunday, brethren, they are all pointing to only one thing. Scriptures are fulfilling before our eyes that the coming of the Lord is drawing near. And it is good we get ourselves prepared, that the Lord will cause us to see something that will make us understand what is happening and get ourselves prepared for home going. Hallelujah. May the Lord come down today and bless us, bride of Christ all over the world, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. Actually, this exhortation is provoked by what is happening in Christianity, and an example of what is happening in Christendom, in the Church of Jesus Christ, is what these two clips of this video you listen to will help us understand. Just pay attention, please.
Responsibility. So all of my focus right now is here. Now, as for my dreads, you know, that matter long, because people don't know, see everything that they do. I feel back I'm up in scripture. Everything.
How you go address that issue of dread where people they always talk about now, where you be lead pastor?
Now, God call me as I am, as I did. Now, God call me in this season of my life. This new position is a big responsibility. So all of my focus right now is here. Now, as for my dreads, you know, that matter long, because people don't know, see everything that they do. I feel back I'm up in scripture. Everything I do, a Bible. If you tell me, oh, I say, what problem? Maybe look Bible now. Say, okay, what time is it? Long hair is wrong. Check Bible. I say, but you say God tells Samson, make you no cutting hair now. Now Bible now. God tells Samson, make you no cutting hair now. Okay. So that means hair. Long hair is not a bad thing. Oh, see, pastor, you get beard. Oh, you get that. But now, so Bible talks, say that Jesus, when they touch him, they pull his hair from his face. If you don't get beard, which hair did they pull? Oh, not fresh skin. You see, you understand? Oh, the pastor, you know, the pastor, they wear a ring. I said, no problem. Go to the book of, is it Exodus, when the children of Israel, as they come out from Egypt, they won't do golden calf. Aaron go collect, he said, all you people, bring your jewelry. They collected rings and earrings from their sons and their daughters of Israel, God's people. So anything people ask me, see, everybody can do whatever they want to do. Personal opinion, different from, say not sin. If you like long hair, no problem. If you like short hair, no problem. But if you tell me, say, because you get short hair, and if you get long hair because long hair not sin, my brother, that's where we don't agree.
Now we say you don't move into ministry.
In our churches today, all over the world, you find out that many churches, they will tie their head and cover as both their nose. But in your church, many women, they leave their hairs open, dress well. My question is it only you that God revealed this secret and hide it to those pastors?
Your answer is no. Oga, people open their heads before me. I'm just a little boy in the ministry. I will tell you why we open our ears. Christianity is a personal race. Christianity, not by covering your ear, your heir only, because God says it's your heart. It's your heart that will take you to heaven, not your dressing. Nowhere in the Bible that written that your heir that you cover that will take you to heaven. So if that means that only Muslims that enter into heaven, Christians shall not enter heaven. Jesus said, only your heart, be like a baby, forgive and follow the instructions that he teach, not your dressing code. I come to Tresis. The things that disappointing or causing problem in ministry, that pastor, God told him that go and take the Old Testament, the old part of the Old Testament, apply that method. That's why the man of God is applying. Then the man of God that who said, oh, go and now dress trousers. Trousers in the Bible, God did not say, women, you should not wear trousers. It's not written anywhere. Deuteronomy says, women should not wear men's clothes. In other words, my trouser and my wife's trouser are different. If you are that, mama, come outside. Let me see. You can see. See my trouser and my wife's trousers. The same clothes they used to do them, but different design, different pattern. Women trousers are different from men trousers. So you cannot say, the Bible say men, Deuteronomy clearly stated, men should not, women should not wear men's clothes. Are you hearing me? Men's trousers, our trousers, they will not wear them. She have her own trousers. I have my own trousers. Whether we sew the same clothes for a party, suit and suit, Madame own must be different from my own. When you go to women's zip, you know zip is very short. Men ones are long. Am I making sense? I cannot wear these trousers Madame is putting on. If I wear Madame trousers, I come church now, something don't happen. No. If Madame wear my trousers, come church, you no go fit arm. But not the same clothes. So that way, many people are misleading their children, their members. Are you hearing me? So nowhere that say Madame should not wear trousers. Nowhere. So that means, I want to ask you, you go and now give the answer, look at your ceiling and give answer to yourself. So that means the people are in Europe more than Africa. The people are in America who are wearing trousers only, more than Africa, they will not go to America, they will not go to heaven. Only Africa people will go to heaven. Nala. We should not be deceived. That's, they don't understand spiritual things. So, young man, depends on the geo that will carry the microphone. What God talked to him. What God talked to him. That what he also convert to children. The Bible says, women should not carry microphone. But today women carry microphone. You ask me why? Why do women carry? Because today women carry microphone. You cannot say women will not enter heaven. Or that woman is committing sin. But the Bible says in the book of Old Testament. Are you hearing me? Jesus came in order to now listen. The New Testament also said, but women carry microphone. These are the things that which is confusing people. Eh? The Bible says women should not, in the New Testament it's also that women should not carry a microphone, but women carry, Abi. Why women carry? Ask me why. Not that the woman that will carry a microphone will not reach heaven. Nalayo, she will enter heaven. Why? Because, listen, they said the Bible says when man carry the microphone, women should not even near the altar. Isn't that so? But today women are at the altar. Know me so?
Not so.
It's a confusing something. But today I want to assure you and I want to show you, I want to tell you. There are people that will know spiritual things and give you these answers. You and your wife, are you not one?
We are together.
Eve come from where?
Eve come from Adam's flesh.
Who is Adam?
From the roof of Adam's flesh.
Adam
is who? He's a man. So they are one. So woman can operate as man. The people that were confusing you in the Bible schools, they don't know the deeper things of these things. The Bible says, the disciple asked Jesus, Jesus Christ, what are the prayers that we're going to pray for us to reach heaven, to meet heaven? Jesus said, our Father, who are it? Are we still praying that prayer? Are you hearing me?
Yes,
so not me that teach people, oh, it's in the Bible. Men of God are using it. Depends how God shown you. So that's why they are doing it. But when you come to Jeremiah, I will tell you, pieces the Bible to your understanding. So we are all one flesh. May God bless you in Jesus' name.
And do you know that thousands of people are sitting down and clapping that he's telling the revelation? So that you'll understand what is happening in Christianity. I'm picking my text, a very unusual text. We've not looked at it that way, but I just want to use it and to explain something in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 36. It says, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And I am looking at the topic that I titled, the household enemies. The household enemies. Yeah, because we look at this household enemies. We'll usually limit it to our family setting, individual family setting. But I want you to note that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, verse 15.
These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly.
Listen very well.
But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and crown of the truth.
Which house are we talking about now? It's the house of God. The church of Jesus Christ. And our own enemies will be they of the household. Household enemies. How does it come about? Brethren, when you come to Christ, this is how Apostle Paul put it. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, I'm giving an exhortation to help us.
For yes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
You have entered a battle. It is wrestling. It is a fight. But it is not against a human being. That's why it is a mystery. It is a mystery. Apostle Paul called it the mystery of iniquity. What is this mystery of iniquity? It is how Satan has entered the church of Jesus Christ and taken over. But it can never take over. Because the gates of hell cannot prevail. What is the battle again? Continue.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
But what?
But against principalities. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore?
No, let's just know the battle. Read that battle again. The battle we are facing, listen, it is a serious battle. People don't understand it. It is a serious battle against principalities.
Against powers.
Powers.
Against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
Rulers of darkness of this world.
Against spiritual wickedness in high places.
So that you will understand. Amen. the seriousness of the battle you have entered into when you come to Christ. And why is this battle going on against the Church of Jesus Christ? It is aimed at achieving four things. That is the purpose. Number one, it's spelled out in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He is called the thief.
For the thief cometh not, but for to steal.
That is it. That is the ministry, to steal
and to kill,
uh-huh,
and to destroy.
Uh-huh.
I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
So you can see the battle in this verse 10. There is a battle to kill and there is a battle to restore. There's a battle to destroy. There is the battle to restore. It is Christ and Antichrist. And this battle is going on in the church. In the church. To steal what? To destroy what? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that I'm saying this, when the Bible says, pray without ceasing, you will now know why you don't choke with your prayer life. So that when they say, study, 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 you will now know the reason why you have to study. You are not studying so that you come and carry microphone and preach. You are studying so that you will know how to behave and carry yourself and know what to confront and know how you live your life here in this pilgrim journey from earth to glory. Amen. You have to understand that what is going on generally in the Church of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Genesis 3:15, a popular scripture in this ministry.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
You, Satan, and the woman. Satan and the woman. And the woman,
And between thy seed.
Satan, you have a seed.
And a seed.
The woman will have a seed.
It shall bruise thy head.
The seed of the woman will bruise your head.
And thou shalt bruise his heel.
You will bruise his heel. Your head is that he will finish you in the lake of fire. His heel is the progress, his progress. The progress of the church. That is why it's referred to as the gates of hell. And that battle began. That woman is not evil. That woman is Israel, Revelation chapter 12. The seed of the woman is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Cain, it's not Abel, it's not Seth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember that all that Satan is undertaking, all this battle, the whole summary of it all is that he might destroy the purpose of the cross. And what is the purpose of the cross? The purpose of the cross is in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 18 and verse 19, 2021. Read it very well.
And all things are of God.
Yes.
Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Go on.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled
verse
to God.
21.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Now, all that he wants to do is to destroy this ministry of reconciliation, to make sure that man is not reconciled to God. Have that at the back of your mind as you go to church. Have that at the back of your mind as you give your life to Christ. Satan is not happy that you are saved. Satan is not happy that you are saved, and salvation came through the seed of the woman. And that's why he tried to kill him. But killing him didn't stop the purpose of God. It only fulfilled the purpose of God. For all things work together for good, including killing him on the cross. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, like I said, the purpose is to steal, kill, destroy. The purpose of the cross. That is ministry. To kill, steal, and destroy the purpose of the cross. That is the ministry of reconciliation, so that you will not reconcile back to your father after what happened in the Garden of Eden. Number two, the purpose of all this battle is to kill the light. Isaiah 60 verse 1, 2, 3. Isaiah chapter 60. Talk about gross darkness. Go on.
Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
The light has come. The light has come. It's a prophecy for Israel. It's a prophecy for people who are in darkness. Go ahead.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth.
The darkness shall cover the earth.
And gross darkness the people.
Uh-huh.
But the Lord shall arise upon thee.
Oh, glory be to God.
And his glory shall be seen upon thee.
Uh-huh.
And the Gentiles shall come to the light.
They will come to that light.
And kings to the brightness of the rising.
And that light is shown to us in John chapter 1 from verse 4. The light of Israel.
In him was life.
Uh-huh.
And the life was the light of men.
Uh-huh.
And the light shineth in darkness.
We are reading John chapter 1 verse 4 from verse 4. Yes?
And the light shineth in darkness.
The light shineth in darkness.
And the darkness comprehended it not.
This light is not electricity light. It's not the sunlight. It's not the moonlight. It's a spiritual light. And it is the light of revelation.
Amen.
It's a light of revelation, eye-opening. He told the Pharisees, you say you can see, therefore you will remain blind. Were they physically blind? No, he's talking about revelation. When there is darkness, it is when the light comes that your eye opens. And it's the spirit of revelation. Please read it. That is who Jesus is. Continue.
Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
Uh-huh.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Uh-huh.
It was in the world, and the world was made by him.
In the light, the true light that lighteneth the whole world. Where is that light? That light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you carry Jesus, you are a light bearer.
Amen.
John chapter 5 says so, verse 14. John chapter 5, verse 14. Read up to verse 16.
Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more.
Matthew chapter 5. I'm sorry. Not John. Matthew.
Ye are the light of the world.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Yes.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on...
Who is that ye?
We.
If you are the one, let me see your hand up.
Amen.
Okay, then listen very well. This is who you are.
Ye are the light of the world.
Uh-huh.
A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid.
Uh-huh.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel,
uh-huh,
but on a candlestick.
Uh-huh.
And he giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Okay.
Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is
you
in heaven.
You carry light. Satan is the king of the kingdom of darkness. Anything that is anti-God is in darkness. Everything that is anti-God, because God himself is a light that cannot be easily approached. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you have eternal life, you have Christ, you are a light bearer. Amen. Glory be to God. It is the spirit of revelation. When you meet people, hallelujah, When a very devoted Muslim one time, an act of kindness that I did for him, just because of a little amount of money, he was locked up in the prison. And so when I found out, I sent for a lawyer, paid, and made sure he was released from the prison. He was a Muslim. And so when he was released, he came to look for me. And here am I in my evangelical office I set up. Long before this church started, I was fully in evangelical ministry. Created it and funded it myself, visiting all the prisons. Set up an organization. We are visiting 93 prisons every week in Nigeria alone. We are there in Togo, Ghana, all the West Africa. It took me up to Uganda. And in that office, he walked in one day. And everyone that entered that office, you must hear something. There is a light we have. And by the time I opened the scriptures, and I saw, they showed him the difference between Isaac and Ishmael, and proved that he was a follower of Ishmael, but the promise is with Isaac. He saw where we parted. He said, "What are you saying?" He was confused. I brought a Bible and I gave him. He said, "Let me study it." 1 week after, he came and gave his life to Christ. He received the Holy Ghost, and he was one of the prophets in this church later. We have a light. Hallelujah. We have a light we bear anywhere we go. There is something about us. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I went to that businessman fellowship meeting years ago, about 92 or so. And then they call it, this a full gospel businessman or something like that. Somebody invited me to come. And I was listening to a testimony of the managing director of a very big finance house, how he came to Christ. You see, he said he was, met his wife in the United Kingdom. He was Muslim. The woman was a Christian. They married. Religion was no issue. But there was something about that woman that was condemning him. The life that she was living. So he thought it is pretext. He made life rough for her. He was confessing it. He said he would come home late drunk and beat her. Throw her outside, lock the door. And she came from a very wealthy family. They must know here he was doing that. But she didn't report. And she said, in the morning he will open the door and see her lying down on the corridor, shivering with cold. And then she will stand up and say, "Honey, I know you didn't mean to do that. I know you didn't mean to do that. I know you are not the one doing it. I know you love me. I know." He will say, "Okay, I never do it well." So he will increase it again. He will drink and vomit everywhere in the house. The woman will clean everywhere, but the woman was giving her name for prayers in the church. He said one day they were holding a program in a wedding, and that person is a family, a friend, so they had to go. Wedding in that church. And when they got there, he said he saw everybody happy. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, everybody just happy, happy. He lacked that joy. He lacked that. He needed that. So he asked, "Come, where did they make all these people? They're happy, happy, happy like this." And somebody cornered him. It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. Hallelujah. It was then he knew. So my wife was not pretending. The wife carried a life. You know, that is what Apostle Peter told the women in 1 Peter chapter 3. Can we read it quickly? From verse 1.
"Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word..."
If they are unbelievers, they will not obey the word of God. Listen, they will not believe the word of God.
"They also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives."
That is, without the word there, that is, without opening Bible to show them that your lifestyle I will win them to the Lord. While they behold your what?
Chaste conversation.
Lifestyle. Coupled
with
what?
Fear.
With fear. Now, that is how the life we live is a reflection of the light we bear. Your place of work, among your family, among... That is why I've always said this, you know, we do things deliberately to show the difference in us. Every opportunity the Christian has, a true Christian has, is opportunity to announce to the world who we are, where we come from, and what we are. Opportunities include when you conduct any feast and you are the host, including wedding. And that is one big problem we suffer in this ministry. That is why I say, please, Pastor Elvis, please make sure microphone, please, they hear what they talk. Because sometimes the way some people behave, you don't wonder, do they really hear us? You know, you want to live a life, and then you want to live a life pleasing, to please your in-laws, to please your brothers, your relation. Harper. It's only the Christian faith you see believers compromise their faith so that they will belong. Light and darkness cannot cohabit. Oil and water cannot mix. We are carriers of light. It is that light that Satan is after. It is that light. And so, you see how Apostle Paul put it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you read it from verse 1, see the way he put it.
But so, of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you.
Yes.
For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Uh-huh. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. Uh-huh. Ye are all the children of light.
You see, we are the children of light because our eyes of understanding is open. We are seeing clearly. Nothing is hidden anymore concerning the divine agenda for salvation of mankind. Yes?
Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others,
uh-huh,
but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night,
yes,
and they that be drunken are drunken in the night.
And you know, we liken ourselves here to the children of Issachar in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. It's a popular scripture here, verse 32. We say, I took that text and try to let us know the anointing we have now is the Issachar anointing.
Chapter 12, verse 32.
Chapter 12, sorry.
And of the children of Issachar,
uh-huh,
which were men that had understanding of the
First
times.
First Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32. Now, among the children of Jacob, one of the tribe there is Issachar. Who were they?
Which were men that had understanding of the times.
They had the understanding of the times to know what Israel, that is the purpose of the understanding, to know what you ought to do. They were given a special grace, special wisdom, special spirit of knowledge among all the tribes. Brethren, among the Christian faith, everybody claims to be a Christian, but there is a group known as the bride.
Hallelujah.
There are things we know that some mighty general overseers do not know.
I hear you, Pastor.
That is one thing. And it's no pride because, you know, we call it, the Christian faith is an evidential faith. How do I know that I know better than you? Let's open the Bible. The word of God will correct us. We will know who is who. It's not pride. It's not. Some people hate me talking like this. But truth is truth.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Truth is truth. You have to catch it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It is that revelation. It is that light Satan is after. You must catch it. That is why first thing he will do as the church goes on is Christ himself said it will happen. To take the three works of grace. That is the parable in Mark, in Matthew 13 verse 33.
Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened.
Till the whole lump is leavened, and it is the three works of grace. And with that, it produced the dark ages. It produced the black horse. He succeeded in bringing darkness and covered the whole church. That's why the coming of the Lord begins with a shout. Come out of that setting. There was a light that came forth again. And we have caught that revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up our life, and the victory is ours. When we are chained down in the past, true jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God. Back to original life.
Original life.
Hallelujah, the original life. The third thing he wants to achieve in that battle is to destroy your crown of righteousness. We are walking so that the Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and everyone will be rewarded. The talent he gave us is for us to use it to walk. And when we come before him in the rapture, he will reward us. Since he cannot make you commit fornication, since he could not stop you from receiving eternal life, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he will make sure you'll be an ordinary person when you get there. So that you will serve God in a way that will not be acceptable to him. And if you begin, you know, that's why I taught you the will of God, that there is the perfect will of God and there is the permissive will of God. He will make sure the gift you have, you mess up with that gift so that there will be no reward. Hallelujah. He will make sure that he does something, make you live your life in such a way that all your fasting, all the service that you served here will be in vain. Yeah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the fourth thing that he destroys through this battle, I told you there are four. The fourth thing that he destroys is to destroy the strength of the church. Samson, that man is talking about Samson. He doesn't even know about the story of Samson. Samson had seven dreadlocks. Samson is a type of the church of Jesus Christ. Seven church ages. You are not to add or subtract to the word of God. If you remove the word of God, the church becomes powerless. And it was a woman that did it. A church, a false church that succeeded. That church is that woman that took level, false doctrine, where we just read in Matthew 13 verse 33 and mixed it and killed everything. Hallelujah. Listen, church. Listen and listen very well. May God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that somebody will catch this revelation and have reason to be serious with the eternal destination, because you are facing a warrior that is a veteran. He has been fighting man, fighting God. He started fighting God in heaven before he was thrown to earth, and the fight continues. Amen. He knows how to bring down anybody.
That's right.
And one of the things to render a church powerless, oh glory be to God, hallelujah, is to look for the secret of the strength of a church, of the church of Jesus Christ. And what is the secret of the strength of the church? There are two things. If that church will obey the word of God, and if that church will live together in unity. And you can never live together in unity where there is no love. And therefore, hallelujah, there is the battle to attack the source of the strength of the believer. You will gather like this. You have succeeded. And you don't even know it. Praise the Lord. And to achieve all this, he has strategies. It is those strategies Apostle Paul called devices in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He called them. He said, we are not unawares.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Uh-huh. For we are not ignorant of his devices.
And one of the devices that we are not ignorant of, or I don't want you to be ignorant of, is one device of the household enemy. Now you may not understand this household enemy until you will realize something here in battle. One of the strategies that the enemy uses to finish the opponent in a battle is he will smuggle intelligence. Smuggle is soldiers, and smuggle them among the camp of the enemy. It is called the fifth columnist. That is the terminology. Fifth columnist. I cannot forget that word was made popular by Buhari in 1983. And when he was ousted out of power, Baba Bangida, he said he had in his government the fifth columnist. And they succeeded and they kicked him out of government by a military coup headed by Baba Bangida. What is the fifth columnist? They are the household enemies. They are the enemies within. So how did Satan achieve it? That is where you see that parable in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. The wheat and the tares.
Another parable put it forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also.
That is, while they slept there, that's why Apostle Paul said, don't sleep, or those who sleep, they sleep in the night. Watch, while men slept, Adam was not there when the serpent smuggled and started talking to his wife. And sowed the seed there. That's created a problem till today. While men slept, that farm is the church of Jesus Christ. So,
amen.
Good seed was planted there. But while men slept, he planted the fifth columnist called the tares. He planted his seed there also, and they will all grow together. Read on.
Verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then art it tares? He said unto them, an enemy had done this.
Okay.
The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together.
Leave them all, because if you are going to uproot the tares, you will uproot my own seeds also, because their ministry, they are in the ministry of recruiting people to join them. The real seed, evil communication, corrupt good manners. You will, before you know what, his real children, they will be influenced by these tares that are also in the church. And before you know what, they will be acting like the tares. And if you destroy them, you may be destroying a true seed of God, who is under the influence of a tear, who has fulfilled his ministry. It's an enemy that has done it. Done it to do what? Done it to achieve his purpose. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, 19, listen the way he
brethren,
called it. Yes.
Be followers together with of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
We are reading Philippians chapter 3, Shile, verse 17, 18, and 19. Shile, go ahead.
Verse 19. Whose end is destruction?
Read again from verse 18.
For many walk, of whom I have told you
many
often.
Many walk here, they are in the church.
Of whom I have told you often.
Yes.
And now tell you, even weeping.
That who are they?
That they are the enemies of the cross of
and
Christ.
And where are they positioned? In the church. See,
whose end is destruction?
Uh-huh.
Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in their shame?
What do they do?
Who mind earthly things?
They mind earthly things, part of their identification. They are in the church of Jesus Christ. And please, there is the local church called Pride Assembly, and there is the universal church of Jesus Christ. They are all there. Because they are all called church. They are all calling the name of Jesus. You have to understand. So when the Bible says we should watch and pray, it is because Peter put it this way, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9.
Concerning, be sober.
Listen to what he says. He said, be sober.
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant.
Because your adversary, the devil,
you see,
as a roaring lion,
like
walketh about,
uh-huh,
seeking whom he may devour.
You see, he is going up and down. He has only one ministry, seeking who he will devour. And he's not going to Muslims, to Hindus, to those unbelievers, prostitutes. He has already gotten them. His battlefield is the church. So he's seeking who he will devour. Seeking who he will devour. And he ended up, what was his admonishment?
Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all
listen,
grace.
Hallelujah. After he has succeeded in planting them in the church. Hallelujah. Then they will strike. After people begin to see them like men of God. After they see them as prophets, prophetess, pastor, evangelist, mighty ones, acclaimed to be servants of God. Now that they are recognized, they will now strike. I know what I'm talking because I've experienced it. When I was being interviewed, I was asked, you are celebrating the 25th anniversary. Somebody asked me, he said, what has been the greatest challenge you have ever had? I said, the greatest challenge I had since this church started was not the demolition. The demolition of this church is not the greatest challenge. Listen, the demolition of this church united us together.
That's right.
That was the period this church was most united. We had more people during the demolition when rain was falling and beating us. Breeze was scattered the canopy. This church, the place filled up. We were having overflow. No space anywhere. There were two times the crowd that is sitting here now. Every service, including Tuesday service. It brought all of us and we were united. All of us had one common enemy we were facing. And you see the success. We conquered. But when Satan saw that we conquered, he went into another one. That is the greatest one. Certain people came to this ministry and disguised like servants of God. Since Pastor Moses promotes gifts, they came in and disguised that they are ministers of God, men and women. And before you know what, by the time our eye opened to see what is happening, they have succeeded in sowing seeds of discord. They have succeeded. Before you know what, people will stop coming to church. What did happen? We didn't understand what was happening. They strategized and they hit hard. Brethren, they succeeded. Brethren, they succeeded. That has been the greatest challenge until the Lord himself ministered to me. See what is happening. See what is happening. Do you know that this church reached a stage where members of the youth fellowship, they carry me go court, and then they sit down, still they preach, and then they sit down for the church. They sue me to court. Say I arrested one of them and put in the prison. Youth fellowship. And I will tell my wife, I say, now wow, see church. See church. They were doing things they did not even understand the implication of what they were doing. They sold that thing on them until church members were against their pastor. How can I speak and they can receive anything? And if I tell you what he did, but let me tell you, affliction shall not arise a second time. It can never happen again in this ministry. That's why we watch anything that will create division, we attack it. We are Chinedu is the general in charge of that section. Amen. We catch you gossip, any member of the church, we hear it, we drive you far for a little level, leveling the whole up.
That's right.
We hear you give prophecy that scatter a family, that set a brother against a brother, a sister against a sister. You are finished. We will face you, drive you far from Ejesha. You are an enemy of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Those are the four areas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Once they are planted, Apostle Paul even called names. So don't say I am putting video of some people. And if there is one, he mentioned Emmanuel and Philetus. He mentioned Alexander. He mentioned Demas. They were all known ministers of that time. That after they were known, they manifested their origin. That they are not with their tears. Planted in the church of Jesus Christ. What do they use? Let me see if I can mention some of them before we end. They use false doctrines. They are the one described in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. from verse 1, 2, 3, 4. Second Corinthians.
Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly.
Yes.
And indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy.
Yes.
For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
See?
But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent
began... He's going back to the Garden of Eden. That same old serpent is still at work.
As the serpent began Eve,
through his conny,
through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Listen very well.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus,
there is another Jesus
whom we have not preached.
But the truth is, if you don't know the original Jesus, how will you know the fake Jesus?
Or if you receive another spirit,
if you don't know how to identify the Holy Spirit, how will you know which spirit is in operation?
Which ye have not received, or another gospel.
If you don't know the true gospel, how will you know when another gospel is being preached? Like that man with dreadlock. He's a Jew now. Verse 13.
For such are false apostles.
You see them?
Deceitful workers.
Where are they operating? In the church.
Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
They are the ones that transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. See, hallelujah, as we are now, there is no apostle. Anybody bearing apostle now by the revelation of the scriptures, he has transformed himself into an apostle. He is not called as an apostle. And every one of them that is bearing apostle today, watch their ministry. Watch their ministry. Go ahead.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel
that
of light.
That is his ministry. He disguises like an angel of light.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers
Satan
of righteousness.
Satan has ministers. Where did he plant them? In the church.
Whose end shall be according to their works.
So that you understand what we are talking about. What do they want to achieve? This is all they want to achieve with that. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. See.
Now.
This, yes.
The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits.
What did he call it?
Seducing spirits.
What did he call it?
Seducing spirits.
And what?
And doctrines of devils.
Devils. Serpent is a devil. He had his doctrine. And it's a doctrine contrary to the word of God. A seducing spirit, he took Adam's wife away from being loyal to Adam and had sex with her. Had a relationship with her. Don't think it was a one-time action. He was fellowshipping every evening until the thing ended. Took her mind away from her husband. They are here again. Seducing us. And taking the church of Jesus away from Christ. And keep the church to themselves. Church now become family business. It's the father now that is appointing his son to take over. It's no more a call from God. How can that man talk like that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 14. What did he say? As an example.
Does not evil nature itself teach you?
Does not evil nature teach you?
That if a man have long
if
hair.
If a man have long hair.
It is a shame.
Shame.
Unto him.
You are shame unto you, that man talking like that. You don't even know it. And you are claiming to be a Christian. Verse 15.
But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her.
If a woman has long hair, it's a glory. Don't go and put attachment. It's not your hair. I'm talking of the one God gave you. If God didn't give you long hair, not sickness. Women naturally have long hair.
That's right.
And if you go and cut your long hair to look like a man, you are possessed. You need deliverance. You are not normal. Hallelujah. Now that's the truth. I'm not abusing you. Somebody tell you, look fine. It's a seducing spirit talking to you. How can you tell a woman that talk like a man? You say, oh, I love the way you talk. A woman walking like a man. Oh, I like the way you walk. A woman dressing like a man. This trouser is fitting. You show your bum bum very well. You dress and show your breast. I like your cleavage. Hey, I like it. Oh, display your beauty. Show what you have. It's a devil talking to you. You don't know it. Seducing spirit. That's why the first warning Jesus Christ gave his disciples in Matthew 23 is beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. What do they do? This is what they do. Matthew chapter 7. See what the Lord Jesus Christ described them from verse 13. Let's take a little long reading and hear what Jesus Christ spoke.
Enter ye in at the straight gates. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat.
So, one of the devices they do is to open the gate wide.
Gate of destruction.
Amen. The Lord is good. He's a good God. Don't condemn yourself. Come the way you are. And look at those churches. They're full. Don't condemn anybody. Don't let anybody judge you. Have you confessed him to be your Lord? Yeah, you are born again. Oh, they are opening it wider and wider, wider and wider. Prostitutes will come in there. Cocaine pushers will come in there. Murderers will come in there. Occult people will give special number. Occult people are the sponsors of the church. It is wide. They are in the ministry of widening the gate. And many
go in there.
Read on.
Because straight is the gate,
yes,
and narrow is the way,
oh,
which leadeth unto life, and few there
the
be.
Gate, the way that is narrow, you will not walk anyhow there.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. You will walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. There are certain things that will not be able to pass through that gate, that you have to put away before you enter the gate. It is a censored gate. I say it is a censored gate. If you are going to enter that gate, and the joy about it all is you are not the one that will shape yourself. That is the meaning of grace. He will shape you so that you will fit into that, and then you will walk through that gate. It is grace. That is grace. That is grace. But they are in the business of widening the gate. Please read on. Read on.
Verse 15. Beware of false prophets,
uh-huh,
which come to you in sheep's clothing.
Yes.
But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits.
Uh-huh.
Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit,
uh-huh,
but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
Yes.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
I was, before you read verse 19, I was watching the degradation of the Christian faith. There's one man in the East that they caught the man that is agent for Renji prophecy. And the police, and they put it on social media just to mess up the Christian faith. It's a prophet, and then they will go and bring. They ask how much did they pay? He said 5,000 naira, just to say your name is Chima, and the Lord is telling me every year you they get picking. Say yes, you they sing song, yes. Yes, I told you God is here. Amen. Until, amen. People don't have confidence again when the original one is in operation. So last Friday night, those of you who are here, you saw what happened when Professor Sunday picked up somebody that was designing him. And as God will justify us, he put the bungalow phone like that. You know, the phone that the guy was using. He told him, design it. So he was saying, this phone here, the Lord is telling me this is the number of this phone. Then the people that want to confirm, maybe in a police they be, I don't know. Because police is after them now. And then, I was looking, the phone was ringing. I said, this phone is ringing now. We took it and we said, somebody was calling to confirm. They said, this is original. This original. The number that he called is actually the number. Hallelujah. But there cannot be fake until there is an original. And nobody can try that nonsense in this ministry. We catch you. That's one of them. That was all he was doing in this church. And we suspected, we found out. And those of you listening to us, listen to me very well. Amen. I'm exposing it for the truth seed of God. Anybody that goes to a church and receives a miracle, you will see him again in that church. You will see him again in that church. So I caught that prophet. He used to be here. He's no more here. They can't be here. I said, that mighty one, where miracle, where you do that day? I don't see the person come back, do thanksgiving. No. I don't see the person come back, come testify. Yo. I said, what did happen? He said, he get his phone number. Make his phone number. Oh, you even get his phone number. How you take Noam? I think you pick up from congregation and you give the revelation. Now you don't get the phone number. Then I planned with Pastor Thomas. When you pick one again, another day, I said, Thomas, you don't start. We'll go follow this one. We'll go follow up, confirm all the things where they talk. The man reached outside with IT. Pastor Gabriel Onyejaka and IT, we said, follow them. That man escaped. He ran away. Amen. Did the same RNG, what do you call it? A miracle here. He didn't know that people in Ghana, they were watching it. He went to Ghana and repeated, called the same woman. To give this, now they forward the thing to us, say, now that woman went to that miracle that day, he's doing another one here now. They sent the videos to us. Hey. Myself, my wife, Pastor Thomas, and together with him and his wife, in Pastor Thomas' office, I say, Oga, you don't belong here. Please leave this church. That's how he left this ministry. Did he stop? It's worse now that he's on his own. In the church of Jesus Christ, no fear. No fear. If you are listening to me, because there are people here now that are calling you and they will tell you now, say the other fifth columnists that are here now, they will call you now and tell you, now you didn't talk about now. Now you didn't talk about now. Yes, now you are the talk about. Repent, oh, while you are still alive. Repent, oh, repent, oh. There is hellfire, oh. The destruction awaiting you, oh. I'm not rubbishing you, that's why I didn't call your name. And they call people name, oh. But I want to give you a chance to repent. Repent, oh. Gates of hell, verse 19, what did he talk?
Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit,
what will happen?
Is hewn down.
You cut you off
and cast into the fire.
That is where you are going if you don't repent.
Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
You will know them by their fruits. Not everyone.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord.
So that you will understand the devices of Satan.
shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity.
Because you are part of the mystery of iniquity. The implant of Satan. They are the ones. And there are, you know, a tear is a tear.
That's right. That's right.
As I'm talking now, instead of them to repent, they will be getting angry. A seed of God, when you commit anything, you reveal to him, he will repent. It's true. But the ones that I know, they will plan to kill Jesus. And Jesus said, they will kill you for my name's sake.
That's right.
As he did that, they go, they vex. Before you know what, watch some of you that are in Facebook. Some of them, they will reply what I'm saying now for Facebook. Serpent seeds. Nothing in them. Complete darkness. Nothing, nothing. Anything that is of God, they fight it. And they are Christians. What the purpose of all these prophecies? The false prophecies, false teachers, false anointed. One of the things they do is to remove or downgrade salvation scriptures. Water baptism has expired. There's nothing like rapture. Rapture is in your mind. There's nothing like hell. Hell is in your mind. No need for communion. Communion ended long ago. Holiness. Don't let anybody judge you. You can dress anyhow. Doesn't matter. Because they know that without money, the church cannot progress. And the only source of a church having money is they now attack the source of church finances, tithe. They started preaching that tithe is not in the Bible. Did you see? They have stopped some people from paying tithe by those false teachings that they teach. It is the church finances, the church progress they are attacking. They look reasonable. You know, it sounds reasonable, but they know where they are aiming. They are the false teachers, false prophets. Who are those talking? They are those who have become popular in Christendom. They are respected. They are planted there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They downgrade holiness so that they can bring in the world worldliness into the church. Bring in works of darkness, like I said before. Can't you see suddenly, who are those that bring entertainers? They are the big, big, big pastors that you know of. They bring comedians and entertainers into the church. And some churches that do cultural day, bring your culture into the church. There are some churches that even do fashion parade. Yes. It's true. They import worldly music, worldly dance styles, and it has caught many people in this church. It was very difficult. Why will a woman stay and then... We dance, be the dance when they shake bum bum, shake bum bum. Don't you know that it is seductive? We have warned our cameramen, when you see them, don't pick them up. Leave them alone, the spirit, when they worry, they make it carry on. And they are the ones, when they do like that. When they do like that, the angel go vex, you go see they begin to roll under anointing. God say, "Na Holy Ghost, na angel, they vex with you." Oh, Go and be seducing people. They are the ones that teach prosperity. Prosperity to the detriment of the soul. They display immorality. Immorality to any degree. You see it. They encourage their members. See, every member, everyone that is in that BB Niger, Big Brother, all of them, they are they belong to one church or the other. And when they finish, they will bring their tithe to that church. They will have special service for them. What are they doing? They are promoting it, promoting morality. And that man with that hair there, they know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. And already, they are already achieving, already having converts. We didn't know it is in the Bible. We didn't know that wearing a ring is in the Bible. Men can wear a ring. Women can wear. We didn't know we can carry dada, carry long with Malians. They call them Malians, dress like Malians, Bob Marley, Malians. After you smoke ganja finish, then Malian. That is what is coming to the church. They are the ones now promoting marriage and divorce in the church. Yes, they have succeeded. Popular pastor, popular prophet. Well, there's nothing. And then you will come before the church and justify the reason why he drove his wife to marry another. Meanwhile, while the woman was there, the second wife, you don't marry and tell, you don't get children yourself. When the woman found out, now you want to protest, he twist up. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on us. Fornicators, following the ministry of William Branham, they are removing some quotes to say William Branham permitted polygamy. Hey! And they are marrying two wives, three wives. They are there in Sapele. Worry. I know one there. Hey, I want to remember his name. Praise the Lord. I heard it. Nobody said and say. I heard him saying, "Brother, he's preaching his pulpit. If you have more than, if you don't have more, if you have only one wife, you are not a man." And the whole church say, "Amen." The whole church say, "Amen." Say, "Amen." That's the truth. Did you see them merchandising what they call objects of faith? Sell anointing oil. Sell this. Instead of marketing the cross of Jesus, they are marketing oil. They are marketing handkerchief. That man I worry, market is a fish pond, fish. Praise the Lord. But when you don't know your scripture and you are depending only on what the man is telling you, and then he's displaying anointing and telling you God call him, you will follow him. That's the mystery. And that's why God gave us the brand television. Somebody in that setting will hear us and reformat your brain, your spirit man, your revelation in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you want to have fruit of the womb, come and take this apple. You, if you take two, you'll get twins. Each one is 1 million naira. They will rush. The key of Peter. God came to me in the mountain and gave it to me. You see this key? If I open it, just use it, your door will be open. Blessing. 150,000. You see this pool? It is called the pool of Bethesda. 250,000 naira, you jump inside, you'll be healed. They never talk about the cross of Jesus. But my faith has found a resting place. Not in device, no creed. I trust the ever living one. His To rush it. Brethren, we're in a battlefield. Sit down first. We're in a battlefield. And God is looking for people that he will depend on.
May the Lord.
He's looking for people you will depend on.
Depend on me.
To fight this battle.
Loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
the brave and true. May then depend on me, man alone. Depend on me, loyalty.
Is to confront the spirits and put them where they belong. Get out from among them. Get out from among them. Expose them wherever they are. How many people are brave enough? The spirit we have is the spirit of boldness. Confront them. Let them know that they did not catch you. They did not catch you.
From his throne, the Father sees us. Angels help us to prevail. And the leader and our leader, the truth is Jesus.
It's our leader.
We shall.
Depend on me for my care.